Okay, we're continuing in the Sefer Bilvavli on page Kuf Yud Beis. We're talking about living wholesomely with Hashem and only using certain attributes at certain times. We talked extensively yesterday about not always being in the custom of haggling over prices. So, he says, that was just an example, but he has to remember that when you're haggling, you're not haggling with people, you're haggling with Hashem, because he's the one who's really determining the price. So now he's going to give us another example. Third paragraph on Kuf Yud Beis. Dugma Nosefes, another example. Pa'amim sha'arim reitza lahaskin shalom, lahaskin shalom ben arim lachavero. Sometimes a person wants to have peace, dwell between one person and another. He wants to make peace between two people. And therefore, to that extent, he'll make use of one of the advice that the rabbis tell us. One is entitled to lie in order to make peace. There is such a statement in the Talmud. Okay, it's not clear if it's l'shaker or l'shanos is really the word of Chazal there. It's to alter, as opposed to lie. But we'll see. So tzarech l'das, so you gotta understand. She'etz hazu shel Chazal musuken esima od l'odom shenesach. This advice of altering the truth in order to make peace really is very dangerous for a person who is not pure before he comes to this. And the Baal Shem Tov already told us, this piece of advice is only good for someone who never lied his entire life. If you don't usually lie, then it's good. But if you always lie, or often lie, or even once you lie, then it's not a good piece of advice. Avomisha Shikar, someone who lied, Afilu Pamachas, even one time, who kfar nichlal v'sheker shelo lishmo. He's already incorporated within himself the idea of lying not for the right reason. V'shuv, and once you've done that, eina yochel l'sheker lishmo. You can never lie for the right reason. So it comes out, v'kivin shebishosh sheyishaker. So it comes out at the time that he will lie. Tia murevis poset tchunas hanefesh shel sheker shelo lishmo. Will be intertwined and mixed in with that lie that you're hoping to make shalom with, it will be the nature of the soul of lying not for the right reason. So therefore, also l'shaker filo tzarech, then you can't even lie even for the right reason. What's he mean to say? Klaimer, mean to say. Yitachen, it's possible, matzav sh'adam mitzido yargishos lishma. The person will feel that from his own feeling, he'll say, I'm doing this for the right reason. I'm lying only because it's for Hashem's sake to make peace. The person thinks that way, as far as he's concerned. But in the depths of his soul, he is accustomed to cleverness and cunning. He always changes the order of the way things are. He has accustomed himself to not picture things and portray things as they really are. And all kinds of reasons. He thinks they're for the right reasons. That's what he's used to already. He's convinced himself that his inaccurate portrayals are a good thing to do. So what's going to happen? When that happens, it causes a person to wreck up the handle of reality. In other words, you've distorted reality. Once you have gotten accustomed to lying, so that means you don't live in reality. So once you don't live in reality, then you can never trust yourself to live in reality. And therefore, so now it's going to come a time when maybe the Torah said you could lie, but you've already distorted the sense of reality. Maybe it's not a time to lie, because your whole reality is distorted. Once you lie, what goes on when a person lies? You know, you're changing in your mind what reality is. changing in your mind what reality is. A person can't live a lie. It's too hard to live a lie. So what happens? You just change the facts in your mind. And you feel that the facts are different. That's one of the worst things about lying. It makes you delusional. So once you become delusional, so now you can never trust your instincts anymore to tell you that, well, look, this is what I'm seeing, so this is what I should be doing. You may honestly feel that that's what's going on, but the truth is it's not what's going on.
But you're doing it for peace.
Yeah, but you may not...
So you know in your mind you're doing it for that.
Doesn't matter, but the situation may not warrant it. Because you think it's a situation that warrants peace. But you've already gotten to the point where you can't analyze the situation honestly. So how do you know? That's right. That's what the Baal Shem Tov says. If you're accustomed to not telling the truth, then you can't do it because you just don't know what the reality is. You've distorted the reality. Now, if you always live in the truth, then you're always living in reality. Then you see the situation and it appears to be one that it's permitted to lie, to make shalom, then it is.
Then you can do it only once.
No. When you're doing it...
Once you're doubted, then you're one of the liars.
No. When the Torah says you're allowed to do it, then that is telling us how reality should be working. Look at the cases of the Torah. Where Gemara and Yavama says examples where one is permitted to distort the truth, to alter the truth. So to give you the example of Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel Navi says to Hashem, how can I go and anoint David? What am I going to tell? What am I going to tell King Saul? He says, yes, don't tell me you went to the house of Yishai to coronate a king. Tell me you went to take part in a celebration that they're having.
Hashem told him to say that.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. But that's what you're allowed to do. Or rather Shmuel said it, not Hashem. I'm sorry, it doesn't matter because the next case is Hashem. Shmuel said, that I went to a celebration of their family, but not to anoint them.
That's not a lie.
No, it's not true. What did you really go for? I really went to anoint a king. And that's the emes. That's the emes. Even the white lies, it's not the emes, right? Yaakov Avinu, I am your firstborn Yaakov. I am your firstborn son, Esav. It wasn't, right? Gemara gives a few examples. The brothers lied to Yosef. After Yaakov died, they said, you know, our father told us you should forgive us. He didn't. He didn't even necessarily know that they had sinned.
But they already lied.
Okay, fine. Okay, you know, listen, with them it's hard to know. But Gemara gives examples. So it's Kasha. But then it says, even Hashem does it. When Sarah said, me and Avram are too old to have kids, so Hashem relates back to Avram. Well, she thinks she's too old to have kids. She didn't say about the part of Avram. So, what are you? So you're allowed to. But the truth is, in those cases, what it really does is we've said this a few times. Sometimes you're allowed to distort the truth because there's a greater truth that has to be maintained. There's greater truths than the truth that's in front of you. You know, shalom bias in a man and a woman is a very important thing. It's very important. So, you're going to say, well, the real truth is, she said he's an old bag. Also, right? But the real truth is that there should be harmony and love between a husband and a wife. That's more important. And you don't have to tell everything she said. It's more important that the family shalom bias should be better. Right? Yaakov says, I'm your firstborn Esav. That's an out and out lie. You know what? The bigger lie is for Esav to get the blessings. That's the biggest lie. For Esav to carry those blessings, he can destroy the whole world. That's the biggest lie. Esav already is the biggest liar in the world. And for him to get these blessings would be the biggest lie. So Hashem says, guess what? There's a bigger sense of truth. And the sense of truth really is that Yaakov, you should be the Bechor. And you will be taking over Esav's job. So the bigger truth, this fits into the bigger truth. And that's a very difficult concept for people to understand. Some people say, no, you gotta always go with the truth. No, sometimes the truth isn't the truth. Sometimes the truth is not the truth. There's a bigger truth than the truth. The short-term truth is not necessarily the long-term truth, and you have to understand what the long-term truth is. That's a greater truth than the short-term truth. So I have to tell the person that. No, they don't always have to know. Sometimes it's much better that they don't know. Now, how do you know that? If you never lied, then you can know this. Once a person gets into the habit of lying, so then what does that really tell them? That you do what works best for you. You become the truth. In other words, somebody says, "Did you stole something? Did you steal?" No, I didn't. What do you mean? No, you didn't. Yes, you did. Why'd you say no? Because I have to protect myself. That becomes your truth, and that's not the truth. Protecting yourself is not the truth. So now you distort what truth is. And therefore, once you distort what truth is, then you have no handle, whatever the truth is. The truth now is always one thing: what's best for me. So if let's say Yaakov Avinu, when he's a little boy, and he would lie all the time for what's in his best interest. So then his mother says, okay, now you should go and lie that you're Esav. It's something he shouldn't be doing. Because then he's doing it for his best interest, and he's not L'shem Shemayim. Lying is never in your interest. It's only what? It's in Hashem's interest. But that can only happen if you never lie. But if you lie, then you're saying, I view the world through the glasses of my best interest. So if you're viewing it through the eyes of the glasses of your best interest, then that's not the emes. It's right off the bat not the emes. So how can you ever come to the emes? So that's what he's saying. So here's a good example, again, of another garment. Lying is a garment. Distorting the truth is a garment. You have to be very careful when you put that garment on. You only can put it on under certain circumstances. Otherwise, if lying is incorporated within the structure of who and what you are, then lying is even when you think it's a mitzvah, it probably isn't going to be a mitzvah. Because now remember, what's the mitzvah? The mitzvah always is what? Protect myself. That's the mitzvah. So then you'll think, you know, protecting yourself, it's a mitzvah to pray. B'makom mitzvah. What do you mean? I have a family to take care of. You want to know how this can get distorted out of hand? Like, unbelievable? You're going to sell something to somebody, your used car salesman. So what kind of condition is this in? Excellent condition. How could you lie to the guy? What are you talking about? If I make a sale, I get $1,000 commission, I'm able to put bread on the table today. Mitzvah. Mitzvah, right? Isn't it a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah of the Torah. Mitzvah of the Torah. I have an obligation to take care of my family. That's a mitzvah of the Torah. That guy's a rich guy anyway. What does it matter? Okay? So now you convince yourself it's a mitzvah. You're looking at it as a mitzvah. And you'll defend yourself. What are you talking about? The Gemara says you could lie for a mitzvah. This is for a mitzvah. He'll give you proofs from the Talmud. Right? Because his whole view of mitzvah is what's best for me becomes a mitzvah. Right? That's the distortion that exists within the depths of a person. Therefore, you can't say that. Right? Continuing at the bottom of the page.
Lies to save his life, what would that be considered?
I mean, you know, generally speaking, well, it depends. It depends if somebody else is going to die because of you. You have to know. You have to know the situation. I mean, generally speaking, you know, if you lie to save your life, I mean, you're supposed to, there's a mitzvah to save your life. That's a genuine mitzvah. So, you know, you're supposed to say, is a liar allowed to lie to save his life? Is that what you're asking?
Not a liar.
You're always allowed. Saving your life is a mitzvah.
Let's
say that the Germans say, how old are you? The Germans say how old you are. And you figure, you know, the younger kids are getting killed, the older people. So I'm going to say I'm 21 and healthy. Or better, the examples were, do you have any profession? So people would lie. They say, yeah, I'm an expert carpenter. You didn't know anything. Of course you're allowed.
Jew.
What?
Are you a Jew?
No, I'm not a Jew. I'm not a Jew.
Say that?
Yeah. It's to save your life. It's not to save your life. It's to save your life. It's a mitzvah to save your life. To take your life out of danger. God wants you to tell a lie right now. If that's going to save your life, that's going to save your life. Then you're supposed to lie. So again, you have to know. So it's for save your life. It's for shalom. For shalom. For shalom bias. Right? Like I say, your wife comes home. She bought a dress. It was on sale. No returns. So you always ask, but when your wife asks your opinion, what do you think of the dress? So you kind of nonchalantly say, oh, where'd you get it from? Oh, I got it from such and such. Really? Was it on sale or something? She says, well, yes, matter of fact, it was on sale. Oh, what kind of sale was it? You know, can you return it? It was final sale. Okay, now that you know that, she says, so how do you like the dress? It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like that.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. You're saying to yourself, it's unbelievable she bought such a stupid looking dress. You know? And then she says, well, what do you mean? Oh, it's you. It's you. You know, and that's usually a compliment, right? It's you. It's you, you, you. Man, she's such a nutball for picking that, you know. No, I'm saying, you know, so let them think you like it. Why? Because she can't return anyway. And if you're going to say she couldn't pick a dress, she's going to be angry at you, right? And that's not good. It's not, you know, you don't need to tell the truth about a dress. If she can return it, you can say, well, you know, you look nicer in other dresses. I've seen you look a lot. That blue dress that's hanging is really much nicer. Then say, okay, there was a blue dress there twice as much. I wanted to save you, but now it's okay. I'll spend it. But you have to know. You have to know when it's time to lie. You know, when it's time to lie. When she's cooking things. You have to know. You have to know when to lie, when not to lie. So the only person who knows the emes, all that lives with the emes, then knows that that is the greater emes. So sometimes you got to ask a shaila. If you're a person who often lies and you think you should lie, you have to ask a shaila. Is this the time to lie or not? Because you can't be sure of yourself. You say, oh, it just reminded me. You say, just reminded me. I had a call, so I'll be right back with you in a minute, dear. Right. But you have to know when to lie. So anyway, bottom paragraph. Kechol shadam amin yoser b'kadosh baruch hu, to the degree that a person believes in Hashem more and more and lives with the reality of Hashem, who may mean she'em lo labori olam tzarech b'ezra, so he knows that Hashem doesn't need his help. Hashem doesn't need your help. You need to make peace. I can make peace without you. Right? V'tzarech lach lasus tvarim l'shem po'alam. You have to do things just for the sake of that, of what they should be. U'kashiyelach ima emes v'imidas ha'yashas, if he goes with the truth, v'adi yaslich yotzer ma'asher im yelach v'drechem acheres, a person will succeed much more than if he goes in the wrong path. In other words, what he means to say is that, you know, when you're not allowed to lie, when you're not allowed to lie, right? So the used car salesman, what kind of cars? It's like new. So what do you say? You say, well, how am I going to make the parnasa this week? So he says, Hashem doesn't need your help to make something come out. Just tell the truth. You need the parnasa, someone else will come along and you sell the car in 2 hours. Honestly. Right? That's what I told you to start with Shmuel Luganov. Right? Right? I told you to start. We wants to rob the house. Right? No? Yes? I said it somewhere else. I said it in yesterday morning, but they say it at night. You didn't hear the story? You tell me if you heard it. I'll say it's fast. So this guy, Shmuel Ganef, or potential Ganef, he's a single guy, he's really poor. A lot of times he has to collect for money. He's a lo yutzlach, he's a not successful guy. Right? So he has a yetz hara, says him, you know, the rich man in town has just died. And he's left a single daughter in a big mansion. So he decides he's going to rob it. Fine, he's going to rob it. So he picks the night, goes in the middle of the night. He comes to the guardhouse. And what mazel? Both guards are sleeping. He says, Mamish, what good luck. Hey, Hashem, he's so kind. They fell asleep. So he goes onto the grounds, and the two big German shepherds are sleeping. He says, Mamish, it's unbelievable. Such luck. I'm telling you, siyata deshmaya. Could I daven this morning? It's good. He comes to the front door. The front door is open. It's not locked. just goes right in. It's like, it's unbelievable. Now he knows where the money's stashed, because when he was the beggar, he'd go to the old man when he was alive, and it was in the den behind the picture. He watched the old man move the picture, and the safe is right there. So he goes right into the den. It's all quiet. He moves the picture, and amazing luck, the safe isn't even locked. He opens up, and there it is, all the golden riches. It's all there. He says, Mom, says, Min Shamayim, I'm supposed to make the money. It's like, Min Shamayim. So his mom, she's looking at it, and his mouth is watering. He's like, Mom, he's getting the bag ready. He's going to take all the money. And all of a sudden, a voice inside says, what are you doing? You never stole once in your life. You're going to start stealing now? He says, what are you talking about? I don't have any food. I don't have any money. She won't even know the difference. I'll take a few of them. I'll have money for the rest of my life. She'll be plenty rich. She's not gonna lack. So what are you talking about? You never says, stealing is stealing. You can't justify it. It goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Fanny says, you know what? I'm not going to steal. Closes the safe, puts the picture back, goes back home. Next morning, he gets a message that the Baal Shem Tov wants to see him. So Baal Shem Tov calls him in. He says, no, Reb Shmuel, I've been thinking a lot about you lately. He says, yeah, really, Rebbe? Yeah, I think a lot about you, you know. You're a single guy. It's time to get married. Really, Rabbi? Yeah, I think it's... And I got a shidduch for you, and I'd like to know if you're interested in the shidduch. He says, yeah, so what shidduch? You know, the rich man who died, he has a daughter. He has a daughter. I think it'll be a good shidduch. You know, she's a very smart businesswoman. She could take care of the parnasa. You could sit and learn, and you'd have a good life. So what do you say, Reb Shmuel? So he says, okay, and Taka, that's what happened. He got married to the rich woman, and he learned to her the rest of life. He became a big Talmud Chacham and became a big Tzaddik. So what's the point of the story? The point of the story is, Hashem doesn't need your help to make you rich. He doesn't need your help. He could do it. He could do it. Yeah, but he'll give you opportunities to get rich without the way Hashem wants. There's always a chance to get it from the dark side or to get it from the correct side. So when you lie, what you're saying is, well, you know, I can't get it done without Hashem's help. Hashem says you're not allowed to lie. And you say, okay, I know I'm not. So if Hashem says you're not allowed to lie, that means it's not an option. It's not, even if there's no food on the table, and lying is going to get you the food, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to. You're going to have to figure out another way. What are you talking about? I need the food on the table. He says, you're still not allowed to lie. Don't worry. Hashem has ways to help you. If you lie, you're saying, I don't need Hashem's help anymore. So Hashem says, okay, I was going to bring you the rich woman to marry. Now you don't want it. So Hashem won't ask you. Right? The guy could have gone two ways. What do you think if he would have stolen? I'm sure the Baal Shem Tov would not have asked him. And the guy would have lived happily. Yeah, but without a wife. You know, and then what would have, if I would have gambled away the money? Money comes from the wrong place. Doesn't give you any happiness. And this time it came from the right place. It gives you happiness. So therefore, you have to realize, if you go with the truth, you'll be fine. If that's the case, I know it's going to be the question. This is the hard question to answer. If that's the case, so why does Yaakov Avinu have to lie? So I have to lie. So the answer is sometimes Hashem says, if it's real MS, you have to realize sometimes there's a bigger MS. And I want you to make the bigger MS. I want you to make the bigger. The person always tells the truth, then lying is something he doesn't want to do. That's the point. You can tell when you're allowed to lie. You know when? When you don't want to lie. That's sometimes a tip-off. Right? He didn't want to lie. So I'm saying, but that's your avoda right now, is to learn that there's bigger truths. There's a bigger truth. So yeah, you have to learn when Hashem is saying, I do want you to lie. But if a person lies his whole life, he says, listen, you know, I don't really trust in Hashem. So if you don't trust in Hashem, then you can't trust your instincts in determining decisions over here. Okay, so we have two good examples of where these are normally very disgusting things to do. But in the right time, in the right place, if a person goes with tmimis, a person goes with wholesomeness, we'll learn that there are certain times where you're allowed to be shrewd. Yaakov was shrewd with Lavan. There was a time when you could be shrewd with Lavan. There's a time when Yaakov had to lie. And he's the most wholesome person in the world. I say, that's the problem. Secular people learn the Chumash. They always think Yaakov's a terrible guy. Ask any secular person who has a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of dangerous knowledge of the Bible. They all tell that Yaakov is the worst person around. Right? He's always cheating people. He's always this and that. They don't realize. The Torah says, Ishtam, he's a tzaddik gomer. He's teaching us when we're allowed to employ, to put the garment on. He put the garments on of deceit. He put the garments on of lying. But he wasn't that kind of person. And that's when you have to know how to use it. Okay, Kuf Yud Gimel. Nekudas haptmimius meloha nefesh haptmimius. The point, the inner point, is filling the soul, the inner soul. What does that mean? Vinei, b'mavet haposhut. When you look at things simply, yitochen shenira l'shoymea shemedaber anukan besach hakol al prat echad me'avoda. So a person hears what's going on and looks at it simply. It appears to the person who hears this, he says, okay, Rabbi, you're talking about one point in your avodas Hashem. It's one point. Okay, be wholesome. Got a lot of points. This is one of the many points. Ulai no. Ulai part choshuv umerkazi. It might be a very important point, you may say. It might be even a central point. Shechoshuv roi lavadov. It's important and it's fitting to work on it. I may even say it's a big point. Avosof kol sof. Yeshem chalokim nosof in bavoda. But at the end of the day, there are other points in my service that Shem I gotta work on. So, near a load of Pir Simshin Nakuda Satmimis he Nakuda Yesodis Vachashuva Valo Yosumekach. It appears to many people that maybe wholesomeness is a very, very fundamental point, but it's not more than that. So he's gonna say it's not so. Avomishek Varchai Besocha Olam Apni, but a person who is already living in this inner reality. Or he at least has received a certain percentage of this purity and cleanliness from the inner core of his being. He really understands. The point of wholesomeness fills the entire inner soul. It's not a big thing, it's everything. It's everything. Kol nekuda shel sheker, any little point of lying that gets away from that pnimius, machsir sa adam lechait adam rishon beitz hadas. It brings the person back to first man during the sin of the forbidden fruit. She inyano shimush shel dash shenirs ki yashar. What's the whole concept of man's first sin? It operates of an intellect that appears to be straight. Avol he zu sheholida zechait. But that straight intellect that he thought was straight, that was what spawned the sin that happened. In other words, what's the problem of Adam Marishan's first sin? He really thought he was doing the right thing. He was totally convinced he was doing the right thing. He had all kinds of calculations were all there. And all his calculations said I'm doing the right thing. And the truth was, it was the most unstraight thing imaginable. But he straightened it out in his own mind. So that if there's anything lacking in that wholesomeness, that's what brings you to the sin of first man. To the degree the person understands his inner depth more, who's soleid, mehachaspus, his hand goes back, rejects, you know what I mean? It's like hot, woo, recoil from any crookedness that exists. Mehashaker, from lying. Meharmumius, mehapikchus, from cunning and cleverness. And arouses himself an inner yearning for true simplicity. In other words, you got to be totally full with this simplicity. Calls manchadam lochashis nafsho. Person can't really sense his soul. Lochashis mishmasho. Kashlo lahargish kama kol nekudas shel malima menes asim mishmasho. It's hard for him to realize and to feel how any little point of lying covers up the essence of the neshama. So saying this tmimis is not a major point, it's the entire point. You've got to totally be on side with Hashem on every aspect. In a simple way, my only desire is the Ratzon Hashem. That's it. That's the whole be-all and end-all. And I'll only employ certain tactics when it is truly the Ratzon Hashem. But that's got to be 100% inside you. And if you're missing a couple percentage points of it, that those couple percentage points will make you do things that you think is a mitzvah, is not a mitzvah. Moving on. Tmimus madrega bebitachon. So tmimus is a level of trust in Hashem. Le'el huva pasuk b'sefer Kehelos. We brought you the pasuk of Kehelos Boren. Asher asol l'kim asodom yashor v'hema b'gshul cheshbonis rabim. That God made man straight. and they made many calculations. V'nei, let's analyze this pasuk. L'cheshbonus rabim, many calculations. Yeshnam shnei hafochim. There's two opposites. It's an oxymoron. Cheshbonos rabim. Seems to be a bit of an oxymoron. Ha'hepech shol rabim. What's the opposite of rabim? A lot. Hu yachid is one. One as opposed to many. Va'hepech shel cheshbon. What's the opposite of a cheshbon? A calculation. Zu hapshitus. This is the simplicity. Right? If you look at the opposites here. Right? So Reish is called Tzorach Adam Lotzis Mimahalach Shal Rabim V'yachakach Mimahalach Shal Cheshbon V'chlal. So the first thing you got to do is you got to get out of this pathway of many, but get into the habit of one, and then get out of the path of Cheshbon, calculating completely. Get out of that completely. Okay? So what he's saying is these are two opposites, meaning to say, not an oxymoron, but rather two opposites that you have to get away from. It's a double negative, right? Two extremes the wrong way. The many, the extreme of the many, and the extreme of the calculations. So let's see him explain this. Adam mitav yitzirasa, a person from the nature of his creation. Kol asman, all the time. Ola kol apachas kimat kol asman, or at least almost all his time. Choshev machshavas, he's always thinking. He's always thinking. A person's always thinking. Pama machshavas rofafas, sometimes the thoughts are kind of just all over the place. They're hovering, they're not clear. Pam yosem yusada, sometimes they're more fundamental. Kolech elefi madrigos, everybody according to their level. Mikoach merutzas achayim, because of the strength of the swiftness of life, in other words, the hecticness of life, Adam torid bahar bedagas. A person's filled with many, many worries. Befrat bedagas are parnasa, especially with the worries of parnasa. So kol machshava mechaberes es hanefesh l'daiga, and every thought connects the soul to worrying. Whereas your thoughts, you know, impact on your inner being. So your inner being, you know, so if you're thinking about troubling thoughts, you're going to have a troubled inner being, right? Next page. Ma pisana yidula kach shiklon yodim. So what's the solution to these troubled thoughts? In other words, you live a life, every time you go, there's something to worry about. Something to worry about. At work, there's plenty to worry about. At home with the kids, there's plenty to worry about. In success of learning, there's what to worry about. There's what to worry about. And we are people who are programmed to think. We always are thinking. Now, some of us are trying to suppress our ability to think, but naturally we think. Naturally we're able to think. And it's millions and millions of thoughts. I forgot the statistics. How many thoughts you have in a day? I think like 60,000. A tremendous amount of thoughts come through you a day, right? And we live in troubled times, so there's going to be a lot of troubled thoughts. Am I going to make it on time to work? It's a rainy day. Ugh, it's a rainy day. Did I get up fast enough to make it downtown on time? So you're worried about that. You're worried. There's lots of worry. Those worries get into the neshama. So how do we solve this? Midas habitachon sharam tzarach liv tefekaina. It's simple. Simple. Just have bitachon. You trust in Hashem. There's nothing to worry about. Bitachon, the concept of bitachon, in Yono, its concept is sharam isboinim varosh mitzadarchi ateva eni adem mehechon tigir pernosa. Bitachon means you reflect and you look and you say, naturally, I don't know where my pernosa is coming from. I don't know where it's coming from. Shmuel deganef, I don't know where it's going to come from. I'm a lo yutzlach. The person strengthens himself, he arouses his heart to believe completely that everything's from Hashem. Vasibus and the causes, lo'ela kovos. The means, those aren't the things that determine and establish. What Hashem wants, that's what's going to come. You don't have to know exactly where it's going to come from. You don't have to know where it's going to come from. The reason why the person needs the bitachon, who kiven she'ena roa motza, who lo yadea mehechon tovah yeshuasa, since the person can't see where he's going to find this salvation, he doesn't see it. He doesn't know where the salvation is coming from. So v'kanu magil mis bitachon. So therefore, he reaches this meat of bitachon. In other words, he's saying, he's giving a simple example now. So why need bitachon? Because I can't see the solution. So guess what? If I can't see the solution, bitachon helps, is pretty handy. Pretty handy thing. Yeah, I don't know how I'm gonna get the parnasa. Okay, yeah, Hashem will help. That's simple bitachon. There's a deeper point to bitachon. Sometimes it's the opposite of the service of bitachon. And that's what? He doesn't even think about his situation. He doesn't think about the situation. In other words, simple bitachon is, I'm looking at the bills. I don't have enough money to pay for the bills. How am I going to pay for the bills? Hashem will help. I don't know how. He's going to help. Okay, that's one level. But the other level is you don't even worry. Lo mikach atimus. It's not because you're, stunned out. And not because you're not thinking. Not because you've taken a million drugs and the drugs are just drugging you out that you can't even think. Ela shekoach hanefesh kol kach davuk b'tmimus. But the power of your neshama is so connected with wholesomeness to Hashem. It doesn't even enter his mind to worry where the parnasa is going to come from. To live this way is the highest level. You got to test it out. You got to work on this. In other words, the higher level is you're not even worried about it. You're not even worried where is the parnasa is coming from. You know the parnasa. You know from years ago the parnasa comes from Hashem. You don't look at the bills and even worry. You don't even look at the bills. I say, listen, I only have to look at the bills when it's time to pay the bills. Right? The MasterCard bill comes 2 weeks before you got to pay it. So the lower level of bitachon says, oy gevalt, a $10,000 bill. How am I going to pay this bill? Right? That's my average monthly bill. Right? How am I going to pay this bill? So the bill comes the last week, you know, April 23rd. Yeah. April 23rd. You got to... till May 8th to pay it. So, how am I going to pay this? You know, Hashem will find a way. Yeah, so the tzaddik says, I'm not even looking at it. I'm not even opening up the letter till May 7th. And whatever that bill is going to be, Hashem is going to take care of it. What do I have to worry? You know every month. If you don't know when your MasterCard bill is due every month, then you're really out to lunch. You know, I know it's the 8th, the 9th. It's always the beginning of the second week in April. I know every bill when it comes in. Because that's when they come in. That's what I have to pay. Do it for years. First of the month, real estate tax. First of the month. Last day of the month is the overdraft charge on my credit line. Since the last day of the month. Right? These bills are coming. You know they're coming in. Right? So not a real big talking is, you just put it on automatic payment. You don't even look. You just put it all on you have your credit line of $100,000 to $200,000. And just put everything on the credit line, automatic. I'm a gate. And that's it. And once in a while, every 6 months, you take a look, how's the credit line doing? Oh, went up another 30,000. Okay. So what's about it? You know, what's going to happen? Well, one day I'll show them bring the money. One day it'll come. Finished. I'm worried. What's to worry about? Why? This being responsible means, listen, you know you don't have a lot of money, you don't buy yourself a cottage. You know, if you know you're barely making ends meet, you don't say, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have a $300,000 cottage? You don't think that way. Right? But responsibly, you buy what you need. First of all, we know as a person who's wholesome, you only buy what you need, right, David? A person never buys what he doesn't need because that's not part of his avodas Hashem, right? That's not part of your avodas Hashem. You never buy what you don't need. You only buy what you do need. And if you buy what you need, then Hashem has to give you what you need. Right? There's no such thing as him not giving you what you need.
Sometimes there are different hardships to different families, even if you're a wholesome person. Sometimes you've got to look at ways where, you know, it's a time for
again,
you to do something a little extra.
It depends. If that means you're not going to learn any Torah all day long, it's not meant for you to make a little extra. It's meant for you to have a little more debt. And you know what will happen? One day, the debt will get paid off. Hashem, you know, that's when you read this book, The Secret, they talk a lot about this idea, and there's a certain degree of emes to what they're saying. They say that they don't call it God, they call it the universe. It says the universe is infinite. There's no lack of funds out there for you. You just have to want it. You just have to want it. It will attract itself to you. All right? That's the way they look at it, you know. Okay, there's a certain degree of emes. They forget about Hashem and some other things that are kind of important. But that's the point. He says, you don't even worry about it. Right? So let's finish with a story. So one time the Chazon Ish who lived in Bnei Brak, he went to Yerushalayim. He went to the Briska Rav. At that moment, the Rav was involved in a very complex issue. So the Briska Rav was involved in a complicated issue. And the Chazon Ish says, so what's going to be with this thing? How's it going to resolve itself? He's bought the Rav Zatzal, the Briska Rav, you know, gave an expression for Amar. And he says in the brackets, I don't know exactly the words he said, but it appears it was something like this. He says, how's it going to be resolved itself? Yeshi bitachon, I have bitachon. Finished. So the Chazon Ish, when he went out, there were people who were there, and they were listening, and they were kind of wondering, what was the answer? What did the Briska Rav answer? He says, Tavin, you should know. If when you ask the Briska Rav what's going to be, and he says, I have bitachon, Paris Adover, it means Shuafilo Mahar Babaya. It means he's not even thinking about the problem. He's not even thinking about it. Veloshu Mahara, he's not even thinking. Elaboteh Shiatov. He just believes it's going to be good. That's it. That's it. It's not like he thought about it for hours. Oh, what am I going to do? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Well, how's things going to resolve itself? Have bitachon. No, he says, have bitachon means I'm not even worrying about it. I'm not even worrying about it. Now, it would help if we knew the situation. But whatever it is, whatever the complex issue is, I'm not even going to worry about it, you know, until action has to happen. So that's what he's saying. So, how do you get to such a level? He says, if you live wholesome with Hashem, your soul is busy with one thing, be wholesome with Hashem, and that's all your neshama is filled with. It's hard to start calculating. That's the point. You know, that's let's go back to the line. God made man straight and they thought many calculations. Cheshbonos rabim. So the opposite of cheshbonos rabim is one with no cheshbonos at all. And that's the point. He doesn't even think about it. I'm wholesome. It's gonna work out fine. It has to work out fine. Hashem made it straight. Hashem made everything fine. I'm not worried about it. There's nothing to worry about. Okay, you're gonna have to finally do something. Sometimes you have to make decisions. But not until you need to. And that's the biggest problem in life. We worry about things way before we have to even think about them. Way before we have to think about them. You know, what's going to be with the kids in grade 9? What university is going to do? What are you worrying about? What are you worrying about? The rule, when do you need to know? He's got to make a decision by the middle of grade 12. We'll worry about it a couple weeks beforehand. That's it. I don't have to bother for the next 3 years to worry about it. We always worry about things before the time is necessary to worry about it. There's a time and a place. You have to be talking. Something has to happen. It's going to happen. So it'll come at the time it's going to come. Yeah, then we got to mom stop. Yeah.
Does that mean that we never really have the need to ask the rabbi any questions?
Of course you have to ask a rabbi the question. That's the tmimis.